revenge. My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting from page 234. Holy angels and every heavenly power are full of pure, holy life, of unbroken peace, and unchangeable vigor, of eternal courage and strength, of indescribable beauty, light and wisdom, and the purest love for God and men, of mutual friendship, of divine light and enlightenment, such are also our holy guardian angels. What a wonderful nature of angels the angels have, but Christians who become worthy of attaining to the future life and to the resurrection from the dead will be equal to the angels, according to the word of the Lord himself. Let us then zealously strive after that endless, unchangeable, undisturbed life. Christians, thou art to be united with the angels, archangels, all the heavenly powers. Imitate the angels, despise earthly things, love that which is heavenly, eternal, spiritual. Shun worldly passions, do not serve the belly, the demon of covetousness. Be gentle, meek, calm as an angel, pure as an angel, simple and holy as an angel. Contemplate in man his divine origin, the soul which is created after the image and likeness of God, and for the sake of this origin always respect and love man with your whole heart, unfeignedly. It is quite an ordinary matter for the Word to become incarnate. We speak by means of separate sounds. What else is this but an incarnation of the Word? We inscribe words upon paper. Is not this again the incarnation of Word? What is faith? Sureness of spiritual truth, and that which is, or of God, of the existence of the spiritual world, with all its properties, similar as we are sure of the existence of the material world, which with all its appurtenances. To believe means to be as sure of the reality of the spiritual world, which with all its properties and appurtenances, as we are of the existence of the material world with all its objects and their properties. For instance, I'm undoubtedly sure that God is eternal, all good, all wise, and almighty, and I do not for a moment think that he is not eternal, not all good, not all wise, not almighty. This signifies that I believe firmly and undoubtedly. I believe further that the Lord, being mercy itself, shall give everything that we ask him, and I do not in the least doubt of this. This means that I believe. The name of God is God himself. Therefore it is said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Exodus 20, chapter 7th verse, and Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 5th chapter 11th verse. Or the name of God of Jacob defend thee. Psalm 20, second verse. Or again, bring my soul out of the prison, that may give thanks unto thy name. As the Lord is the most incomplex being, the most incomplex spirit, he is wholly contained in one word, in one thought, being at the same time wholly everywhere, in all creatures. This is why, if you only call upon the name of the Lord, you call upon the Lord himself, the Savior of those who believe, and you shall be saved. Acts 2:21. Call upon me, my name, in the time of trouble, and I will hear thee, and thou shalt praise me. The whole man consists of a soul and body, is called by a single name or word, for instance, John, in the token of fact that man is brought into existence by the word of God, which is incomplex. Besides this, the name signifies that our soul is likewise an incomplex being. Under one name is concealed such a wealth and depth of a human spirit, such a multitude of divisible parts of matter. This is truly the image and likeness of God, and at the same time a small world in itself. The soul of man is in the man's name. For instance, the soul of John is in the name of John. Thus, at the appearance, my soul recognizes itself in the name and answers to it. Thus, in the name of Jesus Christ dwells Christ himself, holding his soul and body united to Godhead. God is an infinite spirit. In what does this infinity consist? In the infinity of being, life and wisdom, mercy and love, omnipotence, righteousness and holiness, in his omnipresence in all the thinking, spiritual and dumb creatures, and as well as in the material creation, God is everywhere and in all things, above all, not contained by any creature, and not one single thought, however rapid and bold it may be, can in any way exceed him, but it ever moves in him only. The Hebrews ate the flesh of the sacrificed animals. This was an image of our spiritual food. Now, we eat not the bodies of sacrificed animals, but the most pure body and blood of the Lord throughout the whole earth. Therefore, he who often communicates of the holy sacraments of the body and blood of Christ should not require to eat any animal food. Why should I require any animal flesh when I partake of the most pure body and most pure blood? These life-giving mysteries of my God, do they not contain sufficient life, peace, joy, spiritual and bodily strength for me? Can I not be satisfied with only vegetables and fish food, which is much lighter for me? What is there wonderful in the Lord's offering you his body and blood as food and drink? He who gave you as food the flesh of the animals he created, he finally given you himself as food and drink. He who fed you at your mother's breast now feeds you with his own body and blood, in order that in the same manner as with your mother's milk, you absorb it into yourself in your infancy certain of your mother's qualities, her spirit, so you may absorb into yourself, together with the body and blood of Christ the Savior, his spirit and life. Whereas previously in your infancy you were fed by your mother and lived by her milk, so now, having grown up and become a sinful man, you are fed with the blood of your life-giver, in order that through this you may live and spiritually grow into a man of God, a holy man. In short, that as you were then your mother's son, so now you may become God's child, brought up and fed with his body and blood, and above all with his spirit, for his body and blood are spirit and life. St. John 6th chapter 63rd verse, and that you should become an heir of the heavenly kingdom, for which reason you were created, and for which you live. Children, remember that Jesus Christ so loves you that he calls you several times a year to his divine and life-giving table, at which he gives you as food his own divine, most pure body and this drink, his divine, most pure, life-giving blood, in order that you should not, that you should live not only here temporarily, but also in heaven eternally, endlessly. And therefore, be very, very thankful to your Creator and Savior for his immeasurable love for you, to your parents, to your brothers and sisters, and to all men. Children, Christian hope is our hope in Christ and in the eternal bliss promised us by Christ. He is the limit of our desires. He shall save his people from their sins. Many Christians say, I should like to go to paradise, but my sins will not let me. But those who speak thus have no idea of Christian hope. They look upon sins as a kind of indestructible wall. No, I say that our Savior Jesus Christ has destroyed this very wall by his cross and death, and has opened God's paradise to all those who repent. Let us stand firmly in this, in order to teach how to trust in Christ, for not every hope is the Christian true and saving hope. We will point out the properties of Christian hope, its soundness, firmness, and fullness, as well as the signs by which we may know whether we have Christian hope in us. We will point out that Christian hope breathes by means of prayer as by air, is maintained and strengthened by means of the life-giving mysteries, by the reading and hearing of the Word of God and of the writings of the Holy Fathers, and by the good works of each of us. Here we will mention that as the Christian is free and reasonable being, created after the image and likeness of God, but having fallen of his own will, or withdrawn himself from God by his iniquities, therefore he must draw near to his prototype by means of faith, hope, and love. Let us advise every Christian to consider carefully what especially constitutes the godlike immortal man in him. Let us beseech him to turn his attention to his heart, to listen to its requirements, which very often disclose themselves to the man's consciousness, and to satisfy such requirements without delay. Our heart requires faith in God and union with him, in whom it finds peace and blessedness. But it is also tempted by the action of the spirit of the darkness and inborn corruption, by all the earthly goods which do not constitute its peace, life, and blessedness, but only sorrow and anguish. To unite the heart to Christ by means of faith and hope, this is our last wish for you in our present sermon on the subject of Christian hope. To break off your trust in earthly blessing, in men, honors, riches, sensual pleasures, this is our sole desire. We sink in sins, and often despond, despair, and perish from their multitude. To turn the attention of all to our hope, to Christ the Savior, in all sins, in all sorrows, in all the changes of life, both in happiness and misfortune, to show that he is the God of those who repent, and the Savior of those who sin, this is our desire. To show that in Christ is our life, our blessedness, our light, our riches, our meat and drink, and our all, and to teach all to strive after him during all their life as the limit of all our desires. This is what we wish above all things. Jesus is the ever-living source. I would desire to so lead you that each one of you should with all his heart call Jesus, his Savior. God grant that it may not fall to us to exclaim, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? St. John 12, chapter 36, verse in Isaiah 33:1. The Lord is truth. Everything that he has said is pure truth and does not admit of even a shadow of doubt. Thus, there is the hope that the God shall come again to judge the quick and the dead, and there shall be a light of the world to come, the bliss of the righteous and the torment of sinners. Christian hope may be thus characterized: pray in hope, struggle in hope, strive to enter in at the straight gate, St. Matthew 7th chapter 13 verse, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. He who comes to the holy cup with any passion in heart, the same is a Judas, and comes to kiss the Son of Man flatteringly. Prayer hopes to receive all things. Thrice radiant love, have mercy upon me. I do not know how to any sensible man can possibly doubt in any divine revealed truth, revealed by Jesus Christ, certified by the apostles, sealed by the blood of the innumerable strong of martyrs, preached by the prelates and venerable men of the church and of all the saints, and giving life to the heart. And yet there are unfortunate persons who waver, actually waver, being shaken by some inward insinuations heavy as a stone, gnawing at the viper, destructive as a devil. They are deceived by some unknown, invisible flatterer, some politeness murderer, some pitiless murderer. What is the reason for this? Why am I myself at times so irrational, foolish, abominable, and in addition to all this, gloomy and despondent beside? Oh, I know why. Ye shall know them by their fruits, St. Matthew 7, chapter 16, verse. By these terrible conditions of my soul, I can ascertain the cause. By the traces of the murderer, I find the murderer. This is my enemy's doing, the devil, the murderer. It is he who kills my soul by doubt and unbelief. It is he who torments me. But I myself is also unwise in following myself to listen to the insinuations of the liar, the murderer, the adversary of God and men. When you observe in yourself any mental antagonism against God, any doubt in the Trinity of the persons of the Godhead and their mutual relationship, and so on, believe that the enemy of God and men has entered into you. You have long believed in the holy, consubstantial, life-giving, and undivided Trinity. You have long enjoyed its mercies, its life, its peace, and all the blessings, and therefore stand by it until death against the common enemy. Faith gives you rest and joy, unbelief, troubles, and wounds. When praying to everything with understanding, when you pour oil into the lamp burning before an icon, represent to yourself that the life-giver every day, every hour, every minute supports your life by his Spirit, and as daily by means of sleep, in bodily respect, through prayer, and the Word of God in spiritual respect, pours into you the sacred oil of life, by means of which your soul and body burns. When you place a candle before an icon, remember that your life is like a burning candle, and it will burn out and be extinguished, or that some other reason, such as the passions, surfeiting, wine, and other pleasures, make it burn faster than it should. The means of confirming and strengthening Christian hope in us are prayer, especially frequent sincere prayer, the confession of our sins, the frequent reading of the Word of God, and above all, the frequent communion of the holy life-giving mysteries of the body and blood of Christ. Our guides in Christian hope are the Lord Himself, His most pure Mother, all the saints, prophets, apostles, martyrs, prelates, and venerable persons. They all turned to God with the hope of salvation. Not one of them was ashamed. All were saved. Hope maketh not ashamed. Romans 5:5 says the scripture, and it did not make them ashamed. The expression of Christian hope in relation to earthly life is the forgiveness of sins in which we live all our life. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. In relation to the heavenly life, we shall see Him as He is, shine forth as the sun. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. I go to prepare a place for you, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body.
Пожалуйста, папа.